Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Rachel.
Hi Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Darren. Darren, would you like to share?
Yes, thank you, Rachel. Hi, I'm Darren. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Darren.
It's great to be able to come in here and share some of my story with you this morning. Thing I was reflecting on, you know, when I was coming here this morning was just, I got this, you know, real feeling of joy that I was going to see a couple of people who have become my mates in recovery, you know, over the last while, part of my journey. And I think, you know, that was something that was just such a massive change for me. When I was drinking, at the end of my drinking, I was alone, and not just alone, but I was incredibly lonely. My drinking had taken me to a place where, you know, I had not just isolated myself, but everybody else in my life. And, you know, that was something that, you know, had just left me completely desperate to change my behaviour, to change my habits. But, you know, the horrible thing that I experienced was the fact that, you know, when everything had started to go really badly in my life, and I wanted to make that change, I found that when I wanted to stop, I couldn't. And, you know, that's the point for me where I guess the things that I had previously tried to get from drinking, which was, you know, some relief from all the things that were going, you know, horribly wrong in my life. That's when I guess I'd found that alcohol had stopped working for me. And the things that I had, you know, the difficulties, you know, emotions and things in my life that I felt that I was trying to escape from when I was drinking and get some relief from, the drink, it just wasn't working anymore. I guess, you know, I came to understand that it had kind of turned on me in a way, and alcohol had just become even more destructive. So, yeah, it was, you know, it was a real, I guess, a point of horror when the thing that I'd come to rely on to give me some relief in life had become the opposite to that. And I really didn't know what to do. I'd been to counsellors, I'd been to psychologists, I tried to read, you know, inspirational books, self-help books, I tried swearing off alcohol, I'd made a whole lot of promises to myself that I wouldn't drink again. But the thing was, you know, on that journey home, that last mile, I could never make it past that last bottle store, and I would always end up with alcohol in my hands. I would always end up at home. I'd always be alone. And I, you know, in the end, I would be sitting there with bottles of alcohol in front of me with my head in my hands in my living room going, how did this happen again? You know, like, I knew exactly why, because I couldn't stop myself from from buying it, you know, the obsession of needing to drink, even though I knew it was destroying me. I couldn't stop myself from doing it. And that I was just overpowered in every sense of the word, you know. I had nothing to fight that. And walking through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous was the only thing, the very last thing, the very last option that was open to me. And, you know, I didn't know what AA was. My conception of it was completely different. It was completely cliched. It was completely based on stereotypes of, I think, in my mind, it was people that were still drunk just sitting around consoling themselves about how bad their life was. So, you know, when I finally did walk through the doors of AA, I was definitely can identify with the concept of being completely hollowed out, empty on the inside and broken. My life was devastated. But when I walked into the rooms that first day, I remember the first thing that struck me was just looking around and seeing how well everybody looked, like the brightness of people's eyes, the clearness of people's skin, and the excitement that those people shared with being around each other. And I just sat down the front row, because I was late, of course, and that was the only place that was available in the meeting still. And I just remember being overwhelmed by that sense of contrast of where I was in the world, just, you know, smashed and broken, and where these people were that seemed like they had hope and joy in their life. And I think that really overwhelmed me, you know. It sort of made me feel like perhaps whatever was working for these people might be able to work for me as well. And, you know, that's what I needed, because I didn't have any hope. You know, I didn't have any sense of how I might change my situation. And for the first time, I did have something just to cling on to. And I went through that meeting, and I can't really remember much about it. I just remember staring at the floor. But I do remember afterwards, you know, a lot of people came up to me and offered their support. And they shared little glimpses of the fact that if I took really simple steps that were available and were, you know, part of the AA program, if I was able to take those really simple steps, then, you know, recovery would be something that I could achieve. And, you know, it was really simple to start with. People just told me, you know, the most basic of things, and that was if I didn't pick up the first drink, you know, I wouldn't start the cycle in motion of drinking. And it wasn't like the ninth or tenth drink that got me drunk. It was the very first one, because for alcoholics, once you've taken that first drink, you can't stop. And that I needed to keep coming back to meetings, because if I came back to meetings, I could keep coming back, and I could come back to the connection that was on offer in Alcoholics Anonymous and the support that was on offer. And, you know, if I kept coming back, I would identify and learn about not just myself, but what I was going through, but I'd learn about, you know, the solution of how this program worked. And I'd be able to get things in my life, like a sponsor who was someone that could help take me through the program. And I could build relationships and form mates in recovery, which would be people that would become essential to, you know, me feeling that spirit of connection again. Which I came to understand is a really essential part of, you know, being a human being. And that being isolated and alone is just, it's where the disease of alcoholics, of alcoholism wants to take us, so that, you know, we can be vulnerable and keep drinking, but if we're together with other people, then, you know, alcoholism doesn't really have the power over us. And so, you know, that's what happened, and that's my journey. And over time, you know, I went through the program, and my life has changed completely from what it was. You know, I've got a full life today that's got other people in it. It's got, you know, my family back in it, friends back in it. I've got a job, and I've got respect and love for myself and other people, and that's really the gift that this program has given to me, and I'm really grateful for those things. And, you know, to be able to experience love and joy and peace, and, you know, peace, especially peace of mind, is one of the things that, you know, I got through this program. So, you know, if you're feeling like I felt, then I encourage you to, you know, take that really hard first step as well. So, thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person we have to share is Dan.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, so normally I get a little bit of anxiety when I start to share at a meeting for no good reason, and now there's a microphone, so it's twice as hard. But anyway, it's wonderful to be here, and I'm really glad to be able to speak to my friends here and other people out there about how AA has helped me, and in many ways has, well, in every way has saved my life. I drank a lot, surprise, surprise, and but it has a progressive disease. It just gets worse and worse and worse, and by the end I managed to destroy every aspect of my life. That was my career, my family, my relationships. I just became more and more isolated and entirely obsessed about one single thing, and that was getting wasted in its many various forms and flavours, and its incredible accessibility wherever it is. It's just everywhere, isn't it? And it's that makes it hard enough in itself. But for us alcoholics, the disease is described in the Big Book, which I've come to know more and more over the years, as cunning, baffling and powerful, and you know, it really is. It isn't about just not drinking anymore. It's if it was that easy, it would be so everyone would be able to cure themselves immediately by just simply stopping drinking. It's a much deeper and difficult issue than that. And in fact, when I first went to a meeting, the very first one I went to, because you know, I was advised by everyone to do so, this was quite a few years ago, and I walked in, and it was full of old men. Well, I'm an old man now, so that's all right. It just felt, I found it intimidating, and I think many people have that same experience as well. But the main reason why it was intimidating was because of the word God on the wall, and that's something I've had a lot of problems with throughout my life, a concept of God, accepting that they're being open to it, essentially. I mean, you know, I was an atheist. I was a very arrogant person, and I thought I knew that. Obviously, it was a fairy story, rather like the Easter Bunny or Santa. And in the end, slowly but surely, I realised that it was the only answer was to be able to develop myself in a spiritual manner. And the problem with my life was that it had become completely unmanageable, and it was unmanageable because I drank myself to bits all the time. But obviously it was unmanageable at a deeper level, like for me to feel as if I could manage and just exist, just have the confidence to speak to people, to be able to do my work, to be able to just get up in the morning and have something to look forward to. I required alcohol, and there's something deeply wrong with that, obviously. And it's really what was unmanageable for me was my entire life. It wasn't just that I had a problem with alcohol. It was, in fact, that at a deep psychic level, I could not do it. There was something missing, and this is that's the heart of the disease right there. And so, like, step one is just admitting that, is that I don't have the power to be able to run my own life. when I do, it doesn't go well. Like, if I'm left to my own devices and I'm entirely in charge, you know, as I've sort of said before, I mean, my brain's a very dangerous place to be. It's like a committee of monkeys up there. It's kind of a it's a zoo, frankly. It's like a washing machine full of nuts and bolts, and it's just going round and round and round, and there's no escape from it. And so I used to use alcohol in order to calm myself and find a sense of peace and serenity, which it was a devil's gift. It didn't actually work in the long run, or even towards the end, even in the short run. So then there was what I'm just doing here is just slowly working through the first three steps, which I think are just huge. It's a 12-step program. It's a wonderful program. It's a great, powerful way to live your life. But the first one is that life is unmanageable. The second one is that, well, if you can't manage it, there must be something greater than you that can. And then the third one, it's being giving yourself over to God. Now, the brilliant thing about AA is that they came across this idea that it's not about religion. It's actually about a God of your own understanding. And so you don't need to comply with anyone else's idea of what God is, or this higher power, really is the proper phrase to use. The higher power could be other people, it could be, I don't know, it could be nature, it could be a sense of the universe, or it could be a more traditional version of what God is. But I, as a you know, a very intractable atheist, decided and came to the conclusion, not really decided because it wasn't my will, that God, it's not just a God of my own understanding, it's a God I'll never understand. And I don't have to understand. Thinking and trying to manage my own life has been what has got me into the problem in the first place. So what I do now is I hand myself over to God, and this would be really impressive right now if I could remember the third step prayer off the top of my head, but I can't. But it basically is asking that God, that I don't have to be in charge anymore, and that I want the burden of myself to be relieved, and that He takes the driver's seat. He, she, it. The sense of connection with everyone, whatever it is, it takes the driver's seat, and I simply have to give in to that. And man, that's a relief. You know, that's where the serenity comes from, and it's the heart of the program. And I'd have to say that it's revolutionary, and suddenly everything that I took for granted, I love. There are so many beautiful things in the world, and it really is just a matter of letting go. And thank you for listening.
Thanks, Dan. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person we have to share in this morning is Araha. Hi, Araha.
Kia ora.
Hi, Araha.
Kia ora koutou, thank you. My name's Araha and I'm an alcoholic. It's really nice being here with some friends to share the message of my experience, strength and hope with all of you who are either new or experienced in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very privileged to be here today. Some of what I've heard today has rung true in my life. I was what you called a hopeless case before finding the rooms of AA, and I had absolutely no hope left in my life for myself. I had no will to live. I didn't have any courage to end things myself, but I prayed that every day that it would be my last day. Fortunately for me, I had plenty of people in my family and close friends that cared about me, and they held hope that I would come through somehow. And when I went to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, a friend took me along, and I was literally kicking and screaming to not go. I wanted to go, but I didn't want to be there. Once I walked into the room, there were a couple of other people there who were really nice to me, and it was good that it wasn't a big meeting. For me, I felt more comfortable being with a few people. Everybody shared, and then I had a chance to say some words, and I wasn't even sure how to start. I mucked through somehow, and, you know, like it's already been shared today, I also can't really remember too much of my first meeting. I don't know exactly what I said, or I just know that I was really unwell, and I got some comfort from being there with others who had some clean time up, which I didn't have any. After leaving that meeting, I felt like a weight had been taken off my shoulders. Like I had, there was some kind of glimmer of moving forward somehow. But again, a few days later, when I went to another meeting, again, I went kicking and screaming. And then when I left again, I felt a sense of relief and belonging. Some women had given me their phone numbers and kept in contact with me. Which I didn't respond to. I didn't respond to any of the messages. I just ignored my phone. But every time I went back to a meeting again and saw familiar faces, that was comforting again. So I was reluctant, but I wasn't quite desperate enough to try anything. It took me a few months of carrying on before I could manage to get some clean time up and get some clean days together. Once I moved here to Auckland into the Auckland Fellowship, that's when things really started to happen for me. That's when I saw a lot of miracles happening in the rooms, and that's when I got more hope. I got myself a sponsor and began doing the steps as Dan was talking about, and that's literally changed my life. And it's changed my life so quickly that it's unbelievable. Yeah, I had nothing when I came here, absolutely nothing. I had no relationship with anybody. I had destroyed everything. And when I came into the fellowship, people just knew me from that moment. They didn't know any of my mistakes that had happened in the past. But they also understood when I spoke about them that they had empathy for me. They had understanding because they'd been there themselves. And they were also in the same boat as me, so I felt a connection immediately to that. I no longer felt judged, and that was a main motivator for me to keep moving forward. By being a part of the rooms and by being a part of this fellowship, and by doing the suggested things such as doing the steps, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and reading the big book, also called Alcoholics Anonymous, I found a connection to myself. Somehow I've dug deep and been able to admit all those ugly things that I couldn't face before. My higher power, who I found coming into the rooms, he's always been in my life, I just didn't really know it. I thought that's what I was searching for. But no, I found it when I came into the rooms. I found a true sense of who my higher power is to me. Nobody else has the same higher power as me. And he walks beside me every day. It might sound strange to hear that, but it's true. I really need to, like the step three says, you know, hand my will and my life over to to the care of God, of my own understanding. And I do that every day. Some of the skills that I've learned since coming into the rooms is how to rebuild relationships. It's really important to make connections in the rooms, because that's who we rely on when we're feeling at our darkest moments. just recently this week, you know, I had to reach out and I had to push through some difficult feelings. Thoughts came to my mind of wanting to use, but at the same time, there was no way that it was going to happen. Because I've got a good safety plan for myself, immediately I connected with a friend. I pushed through and carried on doing the things that I had planned for that day. I prayed to God as well by saying the Serenity Prayer, and you know, and I had peace for the rest of the day. I went to bed that night sober and clean, and then I woke up the next day having gratitude that I was being looked after. That's probably been the biggest test I've had since coming into the rooms, is that moment right there, and I did all the right things. Yeah, I can't explain how much gratitude I have for my life today. I talk now about some of the gifts that I've received, which is really simple things like planning things for the future and seeing a brighter tomorrow and being happy that I have a relationship with my family and with my mum and with my dad and with my kids. Being able to walk down the street and feel safe, and yeah, just the real, real simple things have been the gifts that have been given to me recently. Just by being myself and doing what I do every day, you know, someone had seen that and then offered me a job, you know. So, like, just by being who I am, who I was always afraid to be in the past, and now actually having faith and hope in myself, my life's just naturally changing on its own without me actually forcing anything into place. I still have daily struggles, but they're okay. I do what's suggested to me, sharing with a friend, connecting with my step work, connecting with my higher power, and I find peace and serenity. Yeah, I couldn't ask for a better day today, and I'm glad to have shared my experience with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Araha. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. And we'll close our meeting today with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.